Let's stand and let's read together this story about wheat and weeds that Jesus told. Reading together, Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in the field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slaves said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, The one who sows a good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. We will sing the sermon hymn the first time with accompaniment, and the second time we will sing a cappella. Send your spirit here to indeed fall afresh on us as we come to worship you this beautiful day in Petersburg. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Words that appeared in last Sunday's text appear again in the text for today. At the close of the parable, Jesus says, "Let anyone with ears listen." These are thy holy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth, for thy word is eternal truth. Amen. As you've heard me say many times, at heart, I'm a farm boy. Not wheat country, as pictured on the cover of our bulletin, but corn country. Once a farm boy, always a farm boy. So I know not only about corn, I also know about what? No, not wheat. What's opposing? I know about weeds. Oh, you didn't catch that one, did you? Iowa's deep, dark, black soil is sometimes invaded by thistles and cockleburs, weeds, which my dad claimed were introduced by the grass seed which we bought from North Dakota farmers. Sandy's here today from North Dakota. When I mentioned this 8 years ago from this pulpit, no doubt preaching on this same text, we had some guests from North Dakota, and it didn't go over too big with them. Beth Sirks was with me Thursday up at the manor for our communion service at 1 o'clock when I previewed my sermon with them. Her comment after our communion service, "Didn't you mean South Dakota?" Anyway, my dad would walk a mile to terminate the life of a thistle or a cocklebur by pulling it up, not by cutting it, but by pulling it up by its roots. Now, if clustered, he'd bundle them, just like Jesus tells the story, with binder twine, meticulously tying them up in a bundle and carrying them home to the homestead, back to the homestead, and placing them on a rock pile exposed to the sun, where the sun would beat upon them and dry them out. And then, once dried, my dad would take gasoline and pour on those dried thistles, light a match, not standing too close, because you know what happens, and he'd throw it onto the pile, and poof, they'd explode in the flames. The message, which I hope you've gleaned thus far, is that my dad took no liking to weeds. Had no sympathy whatsoever for them. Weeds suck up moisture. Moisture needed by his corn. Weeds suck up nutrients. Nitrogen, phosphate, and potash. Nutrients that made my father's cornfields happy healthy, and productive. So it is with people, Jesus says. So it is, Jesus says, it is with people. Not all people, but some people. Jesus calls some people weeds. A harsh statement. And when questioned by his disciples to define what he meant by weeds, Jesus used even a more harsh word. Most descriptive. He calls them evildoers. And he doesn't stop there. Jesus got carried away with himself. He announces their condemnation. For our purposes, I don't want to be quite that harsh. I'll just call them, for our use this morning, the not so good people. Which is not a very good description either. Who, like weeds in a cornfield, suck up resources, I'm talking about people now, non-producers, bringing nothing to the barn, no grain that can be turned into bread or pasta, which translated means lives that are too self-centered, lives that are too uncaring, people who are too self-focused. It's all about me kind of mentality. Which, in calling some people not so good people, reminds me of an experience I had a few years back. Dr. Antone Armstrong, director of the fairly well-known St. Olaf Choir, is a much sought-after guest conductor by choral groups around our country. In fact, our own Eva Lenhart sang under his direction down in Washington a few months ago in a very select group of vocalists from six states. Anyway, a few years back, the Pacific Northwest's Seventh-day Adventist Men's Chorus, numbering 150 men, invited Armstrong to conduct their yearly spring concert down in Portland. As a tribute to Armstrong, St. Olaf graduates in the Portland/Seattle area with a musical history dating back to St. Olaf college years were invited to join as guests of this 150-voice male chorus. Three other Olies and I accepted the invitation. Rehearsal sessions were held Friday and Saturday, preparing us for a Sunday afternoon and a Sunday evening concert. During one of the rehearsals, Dr. Armstrong, a black man who grew up in Brooklyn, New York, told us this story. "When I accepted your invitation to be your guest conductor," he said, "I called my mother back home in Brooklyn and told her what I would be doing this weekend. With an element of surprise in her voice and excitement, she said, 'You are going to direct a Seventh-day Adventist male chorus?'" Antone said, "Yeah, I am." And then she said, "Anton, you make me so happy. They are the good people." How do you think the 150 Adventist men reacted? No brainer. They erupted in applause and laughter with this simple story told about his call to his mother. He had won their hearts. Armstrong then explained that he had grown up in a Seventh-day Adventist church. His church having no youth program, he attended a church that had a youth program with his friends. It just happened to be a Lutheran church in Brooklyn. That exposure eventually led him as a student to St. Olaf, exposing him to Lutheran theology, which led him into becoming a Lutheran. But back to what his mother said. "Anton, you make me so happy. They are the good people." My question this morning is, who are the good people? My question this morning is, who are the good people? Who are the wheat? And who are the weeds? Who are the not so good ones? It seems unlikely, at least to me, that Christians are the only ones, whether Adventists or Lutherans, or any denomination you might want to name from the Christian buffet table, who have it right. Pressing that issue, that if you're not Christian, you don't have it right. And if you don't have it right, then you, what? Have it wrong. I think about that a lot. Don't talk about it much. And don't expose my feelings in sermons. But recognizing that my time is growing short here gives me boldness to bare my soul among friends who hopefully will hear me out. I believe that God's plan of salvation, that our being saved from the fiery furnace of our text, is solely rooted and based in Jesus. That is what we call our salvation. The historical, factual Golgotha event, the cross. Putting it in Pentecostal language, we are saved by his blood, saved by his sacrificial death, which he died for the sake of the world, for me, my sins in Christ are forgiven. I strongly and firmly hold dear and believe that in my heart. All of what I've just said, yet, the older I get, the more difficult it's becoming for me to believe what I've always believed about somebody not like me. It's hard for me to believe that escapement from the torments of hell is strictly limited to Christians. Don't turn me off. Hear me out. Based upon archaeological evidence, Jesus' audience, the whole population of New Testament Palestine, was no larger than today's population of Anchorage multiplied by two. Less than 1 million people. In retrospect, many ancient civilizations prior to God's visitation upon this earth in the person of his son Jesus appear to have been headed in a direction counterclockwise to the way the Old Testament history was turning clockwise. Thus, I end up asking myself, how do they, the many pre-Christian civilizations, fit into my understanding of this text? The story about the good ones and the not so good ones, the story about the wheat and the weeds. How do they fit into my theology? The God in whom I trust and believe, the God of grace and mercy and love and forgiveness. What does this kind of thinking, how does this kind of contemplation impact Jesus' declaration when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me? Does my questioning, does my pondering put me on a slippery slope of being non-Lutheran? Of even being non-Christian? And what some fundamentalists, including some Lutherans, would say is heresy. Stay with me. My question, my struggle, am I allowed within Lutheran / Christian perimeters such contemplation? My answer is not what a fundamentalist would want to hear. My answer is, I don't know. I don't know. The gospel text for today, in the story Jesus tells, makes no bones about it. That there are two kinds of people, two classifications, the wheat people, the good people, and the weedy people, the not so good people. What about those outside the hallowed halls of Christianity? Those who openly do not accept Jesus or have never even heard of him, the Jesus who says, I am the only way. In this text, in this story, Jesus says, there are two kinds of people. Who for a time coexist, sucking up the same resources of this earth. But he also says that there will come a time when their coexistence shall be terminated, that a separation will occur, that the weedy people will be sent to a fiery furnace, a destination of weeping and gnashing of teeth, while at this same time that this separation occurs, the wheat people will be sent to a place called the kingdom, where not only the sun shines, but they will shine. If Jesus is the only way into the kingdom, as I see it, anyone who happened to live in the pre-Christian era, having no access to the cross, though the idea was brewing in the mind of God, just not yet put into effect, the concept of the Messiah, the Christmas story, all that was in progress but had not yet come to fruition. If Jesus is the only way, all of God's creation who existed in the pre-Christian era are summarily and automatically banished from the possibility of God's grace. Period. And to me, that's disturbing. Almost to me, that a God of grace makes this almost unthinkable. Because of the grace of God that I have experienced in my life. And how could I be so different from someone who has never heard the story as far as God's grace and love? When the disciples ask Jesus to explain this parable, he says that the weedy ones are the children of the evil one, and that their leader is whom? The devil. For a moment, put yourself in the disciples' shoes. Go back with me to the streets of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, when Jesus went about town talking about weedy people, evil people, the not-so-good ones. To whom was he referring? Contemporaries on the streets and alleys? Of Jerusalem? Pre-Christian civilizations? Post-Christian people who have never heard the story, because the Christians have not told them. Those living in houses next to ours, who exposed to the Christmas story, have seemingly rejected it. To whom was he referring? Who are the weedy ones? The condemned ones? In Jesus' words, the evil ones. Who are they? For me, this is heavy stuff. As a Christian, moreover as a Christian pastor, moreover as a Lutheran Christian pastor, I don't want to step outside of the boundaries that Jesus set, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because I know and feel and believe that for me, there is no other way. For me, there is no other way to gain entrance into the kingdom than through my acceptance of Jesus as God's Son, as my Savior, as my Lord. Jesus is my way. Jesus is my truth and my life. Yet, because of God's grace in my life, while it's a bit uncomfortable to step outside of these boundaries set by Jesus, who says that I am the only way, yet, that's where I'm oftentimes drawn in my silent thoughts, which I mostly keep to myself. And so this is the way I have to deal with this. This is the way I have to reconcile this in my own life, thought, theology, whatever. I have to just end it by saying, it's not my problem. It's God's problem. Not mine. I am left to ponder, not to judge. God help me. And if necessary, forgive me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us, for the wonderful gift of grace that you have made known to us through Jesus, that Jesus is indeed the way, the truth, and the life for each one of us, and that we have the promise that if we believe and accept this wonderful gift of grace, that our inheritance, when that great separation happens, will be the kingdom. Help us to share this story so that those who don't understand it or haven't received it through us might come to know and believe. You have called us to do this. This is a job you've given us. This is a mission that we have to share the story of grace alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us stand, let us sing. Grace alone. Every prayer and step of faith, every day. soul.